So tonight we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 26. Asvata sarva vrikshanam devashinam channarudaha gandharvanam chitrarata siddhanam kapilo munihi. It's chapter 10, 26. Ashvataha sarvavrikshanam devashinam chanaradaha gandharvanam chitaratha siddhanam kapilo munihi. Ashvataha sarvavrikshanam devashinam chanaradaha gandharvanam chitaratha siddhanam kapilo munihi. Asvata sarvavrikshanam devarishinam chanaradaha gandharvanam chitaratha siddhanam kapilo munihi. Asvata sarvavrikshanam devarishinam chanarada gandharvanam chitaratha siddhanam kapilo munihi. Asvataha, the banyan tree, sarvavrikshanam, of all trees, devarishinam, of all the sages amongst the demigods, cha, and naradaha, narada, gandharvanam, of the citizens of the Gandharva planet, Chitrarataha, Chitrarat, Siddhanam, of all those who are perfected, Kapilaha Munihi, Kapila Muni. Translation: of all trees, I am the banyan tree, and the sages, and of the sages amongst demigods, I am Narada. Of the Gandharvas, I am Chitrarat, and amongst perfected beings, I am the sage Kapila. Purport. The banyan tree, Asvata, is one of the highest and most beautiful trees, and people in India often worship it as one of their daily morning rituals. Amongst the demigods, they also worship Narada, who is considered the greatest devotee in the universe. Thus, he is a representation of Krishna as a devotee. The Gandharva planet is filled with entities who sing beautifully, and among them, the best singer is Chitrarat. Amongst the perfect living entities, Kapila, the son of Devahuti, is a representative of Krishna. He is considered an incarnation of Krishna, and his philosophy is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Later on, another Kapila became famous, but his philosophy was atheistic. Thus, there is a gulf of difference between them. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishnapastaya Bhutalaya Shumadeya Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Chanamane Namaste Sarasari Devi Gauravani Prajarane Nivishesha Sanyalani Pashadya Adhisattva Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Vaitikaradha Shivasari Gauru Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation again: of all trees, I am the banyan tree, and of the sages amongst demigods, I am Narada. Of the Gandharvas, I am Chitrarat, and among perfected beings, I am the sage Kapila. So, according to biologists, the banyan tree is an East Indian fig tree related to the mulberry tree. And it's unusual in that the roots go upward instead of downward. And it has the action of going out of the earth and into the earth, out of the earth and into the earth. You find very long banyan trees in India, and you also find them in Africa. As Srila Prabhupada mentions here, they are worshipped in India as being holy trees. They are considered very, very auspicious. A very interesting thing about the banyan tree is that the seeds germinate in the cracks of other trees, so they're types of parasites originally. So they live very long lives. There's one in Mayapur that's considered to be well over 300 years old. The banyan tree is also mentioned in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita entitled Purushottam Yoga. So it's explained that the bottom of the root, the bottom of the tree, is mode of ignorance, represents mode of ignorance. The medium section is the mode of passion, and the topmost is mode of goodness. I'm just going to read a section here. Srila Prabhupada explains a little bit about this banyan tree. So Krishna is not speaking about a real banyan tree. He's talking about a banyan tree, a figurative one, which describes our lives here in the material world. So Srila Prabhupada says, it is now clearly stated that the real form of this banyan tree cannot be understood in this material world. Since the root is upward, the extension of the real tree is at the other end. When entangled with material expansions of the tree, one cannot see how far the tree extends, nor can one see the beginning of this tree. Yet one has to find out the cause. I am the son of my mother, my father is the son of such and such a person, etc. By searching in this way, one comes to Brahma, who is generated by Gobadakshai Vishnu. Finally, in this way, when one reaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is the end of research work. One has to search out that origin of this tree, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through the association of persons who are in knowledge of that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, by understanding, one becomes gradually detached from this false reflection of reality. So ultimately, this banyan tree spoken of here in poetic terms is the materialistic way of life, and we have to try and find the origin and how to get out of this, these bonds that tie us. That's about the banyan tree. Then, concerning Chitrarath. Chitrarath is considered the king of Gandharvas. As you all know, Gandharvas are very expert in making wonderful music. They play musical instruments very wonderfully. They dance very nicely. And they have the most amazing voices. So Chitrarath is the king of Gandharvas. And he has two specific talents, that he's a very good musician and he's also a very good magician. He likes to entertain people. So he's considered the son of Muni. So we see his name is Chitrarath Munihi. So he is one of the friends of Indra, and he gave two horses to Yudhisthira so that Yudhisthira could perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. And all these deeds of the other Gandharvas were given to Arjuna. An interesting thing about Gandharvas is that they practice a very unusual type of marriage ceremony. There's one normal marriage ceremony where the parents agree that this boy will get married to this girl. But there's another style where the girl doesn't get permission from the father. In other words, the girl goes against the wishes of her parents. Nevertheless, the parents give the girl to the boy, but without consent. This is considered the Gandharva mode of marriage. So, female Gandharva. This I found quite interesting because we normally think of apsaras as being female versions, but the female version is called the Gandharvi, and there's some very famous ones. Now moving on to Narada. Narada is considered the ultimate perfection of devotee. When you think of a wonderful, very first-class devotee, you think of Narada Muni. And we've all heard the story of how he became a devotee, that his mother was actually a Sudrani, and during winter season, during the rainy season, sorry, in India, the sadhus go and reside at various people's houses. And they benedict that family with their association. So in other words, the family has to give in charity to these mendicants, and in turn the mendicants preach to them. So she was engaged in doing various household duties in serving these sadhus. And part of her duty was to cook. So she used to cook prasad, and then Narada Muni used to steal the remnants at first. And when the sadhus saw that Narada Muni was stealing it, because you have to get permission from a sadhu, and being the son of a sudra, he thought he wouldn't get permission, so let me rather just steal. But when the sadhus saw him eating this prasad, they used to call him and say, come. We understand that the prasad that comes from the mouth of a sadhu is maha, maha. Once it's accepted by Krishna, it becomes maha. Once it becomes accepted by a sadhu, it becomes maha, maha. So simply by contact with the maha, maha prasad, he developed a taste, a very strong taste for devotional service. So there's a very interesting story that you may or may not know. Does anybody know how Narada Muni got his veena? It's kind of a gift, yes. So I'll tell you the story. One day Narada Muni was with Lord Krishna, and Krishna had warned him that before you drink water from a river, you should wash your hands. But he was so thirsty that he just drank the water. And present with him, there was a horse. So when he drank this water, he suddenly turned into a woman. And as a woman, he turned around and he saw the steed is gone and Krishna is also gone. So he left that place, and in due course, she met a man and they got married. They had 60 children together. 60, it's amazing. Just looking after 3 children is a headache anyway. So they lived happily for some time. And then at one point, suddenly, all 60 children plus the husband, they all just died. Just like that. And she was absolutely fatigued. She was tired. This is a very unusual situation, because when you have such an enormous family, you become attached to some of the family members. When they die, you'll mourn. But what was her reaction? She became extremely hungry. And she became attached to a mango that was hanging on the tree. So she was trying to reach the mango. She couldn't reach. So she took the bodies and she put them on top of each other. She climbed on top of the bodies, and in this way she grabbed the mango. Then a Brahman came and said, he chastised her. He said, how can you do this? This is against Vedic regulations. When a family member has died, if you want to eat, you're supposed to wash your hands first. We've heard this before. We just heard this a few minutes ago. So she went into the water completely, but she left one hand out. When she came out again, she was Narada Muni once again. But the hand with the mango, she didn't want the mango to get into the water. So the Brahman said, you better go back into the water. And make sure you immerse that hand also. So when he came out again, that hand was also the hand of a man. And as he came out, the Brahmana changed into who? Who chastised him in the beginning? Yes. So it was Krishna repeating this lila. So Krishna was there present. So, let me see. So Narada Muni has many, many disciples all over the universe, and Srila Prabhupada called him because he flies around. What did Srila Prabhupada call him? He called him a transcendental spaceman, because Narada Muni is always traveling around and benedicting fallen conditioned souls with Krishna consciousness. So in this way, he's very auspicious. He's the spiritual master of Srila Vyasadeva. Every time Srila Vyasadeva wrote a book, it was first approved of by Narada Muni. And he himself is directly initiated by Brahma. Brahma is the founder of our Sampradaya. Then finally, Kapila Muni. As Srila Prabhupada mentions, there are two Kapilas. The first one is the one that we are speaking about. He's a semi-incarnation of Godhead. And the second one was an atheist. Or at least was a Mayavadi. I'm not sure. Which one, Prabhu? Kapila was atheist or Mayavadi? Kapila, second Kapila. Atheist? So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of Kapila is told in the third canto. And it's explained that Madhusudan, who is Krishna, Krishna who killed the demon Madhu, he entered into the semen of Karma Muni. Karma Muni is the father of Narada Muni. So he has a nice description of Kapila. This is at the time when he descended, when he actually took birth. At the time of his descent on earth, demigods in the form of raining clouds sounded instruments in the sky. The Gandharvas sang the glories of the Lord. At the time of the Lord's appearance, the demigods flying in the sky showered flowers. Brahma understood that a portion of the personality of Godhead had appeared to explain Sankhya Yoga. So the purpose of Lord Kapila in descending was to expound the philosophy of Sankhya Yoga. And who did he preach to first? His mother. So the goal of Sankhya Yoga, who knows what the goal is? Through which process? What was his release? Yes. But he was stressing on one thing specifically. Yes. You're not off. But he wanted people to give up work, mostly. Working for their own sense gratification. So he wants people to give up work in the sense of working in the material world. So Brahma told Devahuti that Kapila would actually cut off any knot of ignorance and doubt that she had within her heart. And after he'd done that, that he would leave and he would travel all over the world preaching. And so he did. So his teachings are not so much philosophical, they're more religious. And he left a book called the Samkhya Pravachana Sutram. But this book doesn't claim to be divine at all. So the idea is that when you read the book, you make up your mind what you think about it. It gives you guidelines for how to live. So in this system, there's very much a reliance on evidence and reason. Meaning that if you want to state that this book is divine, you have to give evidence, and you have to give some type of proper reasoning why you consider the book to be divine, the same with the philosophy. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments? I'd like someone to say something more about Narada Muni. Yes, Prabhu. When one listens to this purport, one understands that what Srila Prabhupada is saying is that ultimately you're going up the chain of disciplic succession. And the purpose of the chain of disciplic succession is to deliver fallen conditioned souls. So, yes? That's what I just said. The disciplic succession is there to deliver fallen conditioned souls. So the teaching that most people get when they come to their very first Sunday program is that we are fallen. We were with Krishna. Some people don't even say that, but I won't get into that. But that basically we're from the spiritual world, be that spiritual world the Brahma Jyoti or be it Krishna Loka. And that our primary responsibility of life is to re-establish that lost relationship that we voluntarily broke. Krishna always wants that relationship, but out of our own selfish desires, we broke that relationship. Okay. Do you want to tell us some story about Narada Muni, Prabhu?
No, I don't
know. One version that Srila Prabhupada apparently told was that Narada Muni actually fell from the spiritual world. They went on some Harinam party. And he was a bit of a rebel. He was singing some kind of cinema songs. And as a result of this offense, he fell down. But not the same as we fall down. It's all transcendental leader. Yes, Mataji. There's different viewpoints on this. There was a book written called Not Even Leaves Fall in the Spiritual World or something like that. Because we know that every time a blade moves, it can't move without a blade of grass, can't move without Krishna's sanction. So the book is basically that not even a leaf falls in the spiritual world, so therefore how could we fall? So at one point in ISKCON, some years back, there was this big debate going on. Did we come from the spiritual world? Did we come from Brahma Jyoti? Where did we come from? The point is that if one is suffering and one wants to get out of the suffering, then focus on that. If you get a knife in your back, you don't say, was it him or was it him? Get the knife out of your back and stop suffering. The point that I'm getting at is that it doesn't really help to argue and debate, and we're suffering, so let's stop the suffering. Further to that, I can say that it seems like people are just not sure. This is how the debate arose, because some people were saying we must have come from Brahmajyoti, others were saying... But it seems from the general teachings that... Because I've heard it said that when we go back to our original constitutional position, which means we were in the spiritual world. Let's ask about Nupedia. Are you aware of whether this?
Ultimately, that's a change.
Yeah. That was my point.
Still, I mean, just one last point. In one sense, it is an important point.
Yeah.
Because it changes our mood. Because if you realize that you fall for Krishna, that means that it's your fault. And you just have to remember it, and then you can go back. However, if you think that, you know, you just came from Brahmajyoti, and Brahma explains that, yes, you came from Brahmajyoti, but where you came before the Brahmajyoti, it's just that it wasn't spiritual. But there's people that are denying that. So then it becomes a little bit different, the philosophy. Because then you need some super guru, and he needs to do some shakti. And it's there in our philosophy, it's not that we don't need a super guru. But it's a little bit exaggerated. And the emphasis on sadhana, the practice, diminished, because the people who say, the preachers, philosophy, they say you cannot believe in sadhana because it's, you know, it's too difficult. However, it's Tamahaku says, you just have to remember it. If you just chant Hare Krishna and you get up and run your then you remember your position of eternal service of Krishna. And that is the emphasis in our Sampradaya. You just practice and then you will remember it. And then you will remember it. And everything is there, we will always be something. The main part of the philosophy is the change of teaching, and then you remember the original.
You happy? So ultimately the choice is always there. That's the point. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.